The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon, and what a weekend it was. We have not seen too many like that this year or ever, for that matter. Welcome to a new week. The end of the month is upon us, and we have a lot to tackle over these next 4 years. Lincoln Riley making a calculated move, turning his back on OU for USC. Many wonder why. Why did he leave Oklahoma? Why now? Why, as the Sooners are heading toward the SEC? He had a pretty fabulous record there, but remember, he inherited a masterpiece left behind by Bob Stoops. He had three playoff appearances, so one really good game against Georgia, the other two absolute obliterations by LSU and Alabama. Produced a couple of Heismans, but he's heading for Tinseltown. Speaking of coaching changes, Billy Napier has been patient, and he finally landed the big job. He is the new coach at the University of Florida. 39-12 in 4 years with the Ragin' Cajuns. Only FBS coach to lead his team to conference championship game each of the past 4 years. He was once an assistant under Dabo, most recently a Nick Saban disciple. So we've got a few new openings since we saw you last. To the surprise of no one, Cutcliffe is gone from Duke. Honk if you want the LSU job. OU is open. Virginia Tech is open. And Washington is open. So, again, we are going to dig pretty deep. So I'll save the breath, and we can hear from you in a minute at 855-242-7285. But we have got a lot to dig into here, and certainly there were miracles all over the place. Nick Saban, he'll treasure a win at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and in some ways it was the exorcism of the kick six. Others may disagree, but Alabama's still alive in the national championship race, and in 2013 they weren't. A&M, a lot of people were wondering if Jimbo would land the LSU job. He didn't even beat Ed Ogeron in their final meeting. Coach O, how could you not cheer for Coach O getting to say, "Go Tigers" one more time as a winner? It was quite an emotional scene at the end of the game at Tiger Stadium, and quite frankly, a pretty brutal loss for Jimbo Fisher. There was one other game, the game up north. The game, as they like to call it. Am I reading that correctly? Did Michigan really win? I must have missed that game. Congratulations. Pat Dooley, congratulations to me for saying Pat Dooley's name right. John Wilner from the Mercury News, Greg McElroy, Spencer and Richard, and Jason Kersey. He used to cover Oklahoma. Now he's covering a train wreck until they can get this thing straightened out. So who will be the next coach at Oklahoma? We'll ask Kersey that in just a couple of hours. Let's get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. I'm not even a caller to the show, but late Saturday afternoon, early evening, I was saying, I can't wait to listen to the Feinbaum Show on Monday. So I'm going to do the same thing that a lot of us are going to do and listen to the show and see what people have to say. Kelly starts us off from Long Island. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, Paul. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. And so, yes, let's start out with Lincoln Riley off the bat. And what do you think? Is he making a mistake or not? And also a shout out to Lee Elder, rest in peace, for a great golf pro. And I'll listen while you.
Thank you, Kelly. I don't think he's making a mistake. I think he had a great run at Oklahoma. And everybody approaches things differently. He may have felt it was time to try something else. You could sense the tension during the year, during the Spencer Rattler debate, the Caleb Williams, remember the young student reporter, getting some secret pictures. Lincoln has been on edge, and then losing two games down the stretch had to be very difficult. But ultimately, you have to ask yourself, what's the better job? I know a lot of people want to come up with the typical SEC narrative that he was afraid of the SEC. I'm not really in that camp. I think he saw the bright lights of Tinseltown and a place where expectations, quite frankly, are less suffocating right now because of the dearth of success than he had in Norman. Andre is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. How you doing, Coach?
Very well, thank you.
Listen, I would tell the people of the great state of Oklahoma, if you want loyalty, go get a dog. As you see, these coaches are not loyal. And hell, they expect the players to be loyal. Come on now. Let's get into the 21st century. Now, I wish the man nothing but the best, but hell, you know and I know, Coach, the Pac-12 is desperate. Now, if you were moving into a neighborhood full of bullies called the SEC and you had an easy way out, they were going to pay you great money, which way would you go, Coach Feinbaum?
Yeah, I don't think it's a difficult decision at all. And, you know, and there's one other aspect of this, and that's staying in the Big 12 for another couple of years where you're going to get the worst possible calls, as his team did on Saturday night. Everybody hates your guts. They're
right.
Envious. I think he made a smart decision.
Well, Coach, one more question. Man, what is Scott Woodward waiting on over in Baton Rouge? What's going on with that?
Well, that is a good question. And you have to think he's either missed on a couple of people that he obviously wanted, and I think Lincoln Riley was in that camp. He's waiting for somebody to maybe change their mind. Or he's waiting on a coach who was in a championship game this weekend. I don't think there can be anything else.
Well, you're the mouth of the SEC, Coach Feinbaum. Why don't you call the man up and see what's going on? We want to know.
Well, I will say this about Scott Woodward. And, you know, I may eat my words, but that's okay. I'm hungry. So,
right.
He's a smart guy. I think he's catching a lot of flack. I'm more than willing to wait and see what Scott Woodward shows up with on whatever date it is, than to say he has blown this coaching search. I'm not convinced he has yet. We'll take a break. We will head to Florida, where they're really excited about Billy Napier. Sadly for Billy Napier in Florida, that hire yesterday came out about the same time as the Lincoln Riley news, and this is the first time I've thought about it since then. But we'll let Mr. Dooley enlighten us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So lost in the shuffle is Florida, a seamless coaching search, no rumors, no innuendo, no planes being followed. One man emerged as soon as Dan Mullen was fired, and that man was introduced as the Florida head coach, or announced yesterday. Pat Dooley has been covering that program since it began. Great to have you with us.
1906, that one. Yeah.
It's nice to see someone that has seen a few things like we all have. Well, Pat, take us through the whole thing, because it just seemed like Billy Napier was the only name ever really seriously linked to this job.
Yeah, it was. Well, I think a lot of people linked a lot of names, but I don't think I think that Scott Strickland basically had three names. And I think one of them was, the first one was Billy Napier. And the second one, I think Matt Campbell was on his list. I think the next LSU coach, Bill O'Brien, was on his list, too. That's what I'm calling that right now.
Bill O'Brien is the next LSU. Hold on. Let's wait for Florida for a second, because LSU fans are just palpitating right now. Tell us more about Bill O'Brien at LSU.
Well, why haven't they done anything yet? I mean, they're waiting for him to get done. That's my theory. But it's just, I think it just makes it LSU fans, man, that's always good. But, you know, I mean, so he went out there, I guess, Tuesday. And look, we all know that ADs do not go into coaching searches without an idea of who will and who won't talk to them. You know, I mean, you know, you've already done your research even before sometimes you fire a coach. You want to continue to support him publicly, but privately you're talking to people. So I'm sure that Scott Strickland was. And then once he got to meet Billy Napier, like many people have, he was overwhelmed by me. Suddenly, this guy really is exactly what we need. He is a culture change for Florida, and that he's not getting a guy who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and Florida's had two straight of those that didn't work out. And he's getting a guy who understands the importance of recruiting. And, you know, I'm sure that people have read, like, Ross Dellinger's story and some other stories about what Billy Napier did at Louisiana. And he's got he's probably got a better recruiting room than Florida does right now. That's where Florida's got to get better. If they don't get better there, they'll never, ever have a chance to catch up to Georgia, let alone Alabama, and even Texas A&M.
You know this fan base, Pat, and I would have 2 weeks ago, if you'd said Billy Napier, I might have guessed that they wouldn't embrace it, but they are embracing it. At least I can sense from a distance why.
I think because of the recruiting. They are look, Gator fans, I will say this, probably follow recruiting more than they should. They should kind of sometimes get lives, but you know. But all fans follow recruiting. But some, I think Gator fans really follow it. And part of the reason, though, I think they do, is because Florida has not been good since Urban Meyer left. I mean, they have not been, you know, that high quality where they can. And the trouble is Georgia has been. I mean, you know Alabama's going to beat you. But when Georgia came in and Kirby Smart started beating them on a regular basis, that really became a big issue for Florida fans. And they like what they're hearing from Billy Napier as far as that goes. I tell you, the biggest thing I like about him, I was looking at some stats today. Florida has been miserable with special teams. They're important to him. They blocked four kicks this year. They've been miserable in discipline. You know that, Paul. If you watch the Florida FSU game, I will send you a check and refund the money for your cable.
I refuse to watch it.
It was 3 hours and 53 minutes of both teams saying, here's why we suck. And then you look at Louisiana, they're averaging 35, I think, yards of penalties a game. Florida, they're going 35 yards of penalties. That's a quarter. What are you talking about? So I think he's those kind of things. The fact that he does care about special teams. The fact that, he's not. It's not like they're bringing in a guy who thinks is going to be as good a play caller as Dan Mullen. But I think Florida fans feel like he's checked off the boxes that matter. And one of them is relationships, whether it's with the media, whether it's with the fan base, whether it's with the, obviously with the recruits is the number one thing. And he's pretty good at it, and he cares about recruiting. And that's the biggest thing they want right now. They want somebody to come in here and catch up in recruiting.
It seems, if I remember correctly, 5 years ago, what they wanted was score was a high-flying offense and scoring. That has changed, I guess.
Well, it has. And I remember we were on our radio show, Paul. There were people calling in going, I don't care if we win anymore. I just care that we score a lot of points and that we get a yards. And then they scored a lot of points and got a lot of yardage and didn't win. And they got mad. So, no, I mean, it's all about winning. It's about trying to get to that level that Florida was at back with Urban, with Coach Spurrier. It's very hard to get to. It's not easy. There are no guarantees this is a great hire. It might be. It might be the, you know, I refer to him as the new Billy to my wife, and she got mad because she goes, come on, there's no only going to be one Billy Donovan, and I agree. But at least they moved up a letter in the alphabet. They went Meyer, Muschamp, McElwain, Mullen, and now it's Napier. So they moved up a letter in the alphabet.
Well, and when you consider the last time that Scott Frost and Chip Kelly and were the other two finalists, and they were the two hottest coaches in the country, and neither has really done anything since moving on from the Florida job, and we know what Mullen did or didn't do, then I can certainly understand it. Pat, finally on Dan Mullen, he's been very quiet. How is he going to be remembered by the Gators, and what is he going to do next?
That's a great question. I mean, I think he can go the McElwain route, go to a Central Michigan. He can go to the NFL, which a lot of people felt like he wanted to do anyway. I know he's going to have opportunities. Obviously, he doesn't need them, getting $6 million up front and then $1 million a year. But I think people remember, well, they should remember him. And that's a great question, Paul. They should remember him in two ways. One is that he brought Florida football to be fun again. He got them back on game day. They hadn't been on game day in forever. He got them back on game day. He got them to the SEC championship game with a chance to win, not like they did under McElwain where they had no chance to win. And he made it fun, and people were excited. The Swamp was like it used to be in the old days. Unfortunately, when it went bad, it was an epic crash like I've never seen before. So I think that's what they'll remember, but they shouldn't. They should remember all the good things that happened under him, because a lot of good things really did happen.
Pat Dooley. So finally, Pat, you've already triggered your answer, but you're the sage of Gainesville. You're stamping this Napier hire with your approval?
Yeah, I think it's a good hire. Is it a home run? We'll find out about that. I think there aren't many home run hires. I think, you know, Steve was one, and you knew it when they hired him. It was perfect. He'd won a Duke already. He loved everything about the Gators. Urban was one that even Urban I had questions about, because I didn't know if he could recruit at this level. But that, you know, in retrospect, it's a home run hire. But then there have been a lot of bloopers to right field that, you know, were caught. So they need to. Is this guy a guy that could be? Maybe. I got a text from Scott Strickland yesterday that said you're going to love this guy. That's an improvement for the last two guys. So we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's not like it's a tough room to improve on
exactly.
Especially from a personality standpoint. Pat, great to see you. It's always good to see you and hear you, and we will talk to you again very soon. Pat Dooley, the legendary sports writer, now operating a submarine. We will take a break. We have a lot to do. We'll head out west and see how the Pac-12 is celebrating its relevancy now that Lincoln Riley has joined the party. We'll get the take from Norman about the move to the SEC with parts unknown. A lot of names being bantied about, including Brent Venables late this afternoon. We will come right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've already talked about Lincoln to L.A., and now Billy Napier to Florida. LSU on the clock. Oklahoma now on the clock as well. A lot of names being speculated, and we'll have all of that for you this afternoon. John is in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I've got a bit of a cold. As you know, I mentioned before, I have a Michigan, a Notre Dame, and an Ohio State fans in my neighborhood. They're all professional, and we go to the different games. The Ohio State guy, Ed, decided to change from MSU to U of N, so we went up to the game. And he's a good fan. He's not like Jeff, angry and mean and what have you. But the worst part of the game for him was we all went down to the field after, and he had to go down with us. Anyways, I thought you did a very classy mea culpa with Greeny in the morning on Get Up with regards to Jim Harbaugh.
Well, John, I don't think there's any secret that I've had fun with Harbaugh. And by the way, he's had fun with me. This is not personal to me. It doesn't matter who wins the Ohio State-Michigan game. I don't care if it ends in a tie. But I was genuinely moved by him doing what he did and by that scene. It was one of the great scenes I've ever seen after a game. And I thought he handled it very well, too, John. A lot of coaches in that position would have struck back. Would have been petty,
yeah, he was humble.
Or supercilious. I thought he was great, and I'm glad he did.
And you were as well on Greeny. I was getting out of the car, and he said, "Well, Paul's on," and I knew what the first question would be. I mean, he couldn't resist that.
Well, you often hear commentators making it about themselves. We all know who those people are, where everything they do, it's about them, not about the game. I had nothing to do with the game. I was nowhere near the game. I just made a brash statement before the game, like I've done before every other Ohio State-Michigan game.
I know.
And I was genuinely moved by the outcome. Regardless, I don't take my own predictions seriously, and I wish others in our business wouldn't. Nobody really. If you're a fan, do you care what some talking head says before the game, unless he's wrong, and then you can try to come after him like it's really going to affect him?
No, you're great. And I was going to run you by some CFP scenarios. Obviously, if we go by the point spread, it looks like it'll be Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma State, and Cincinnati.
Right.
Now, if Oklahoma State doesn't get past Baylor, it does look like Notre Dame could sneak in with Cincinnati. How's that look? It's a scenario.
It's all predicated on Alabama. If Alabama loses, they're a 6.5-point underdog, first time they've been an underdog since 2015, when they were a 1.5-point underdog to Georgia and won by 28 points. So this is now the second time since 2009 Alabama has been an underdog. So if you move Alabama out of the way, and assuming Cincinnati wins, and assuming Oklahoma State wins, then you start opening up some room. And Notre Dame, I think, would be the next team. It's not helping them that they're off this week. Now, if Notre Dame did what many of us think they should do and not be so haughty and independent, had they been in the ACC and won the ACC championship game this weekend against, let's say, Wake Forest or Pittsburgh or whatever division they were in, they probably would get in because they would be a major conference champion. Instead, they're sitting there doing nothing. And probably frittering away a chance for Brian Kelly to get back to the playoffs so he can lose by 28 points.
So imagine I told you at the first of the year, no Oklahoma, no Clemson, no Alabama, and look out for Michigan. What would you have said?
Well, I mean, the idea that Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Clemson are out, I mean, those were the four picks by everyone. Georgia was included in a few. Georgia was somewhere in that 4-5 range. It's truly stunning, and I don't want to read anybody write or broadcast how stale this year's CFP is going to be. It's not going to be stale. We got some new kids coming to town.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much, John. Always great to hear from you. And let's talk to Eric in Oklahoma. Hello, Eric. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Paul. I'd like to wish you and all the listeners a happy holiday and Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And hope you had a great one.
It was. Thank you for asking.
Obviously, you know why I'm calling. Lincoln Riley, I've been listening to you, so I already know your thoughts on the move. I personally think it's weak. Why run from competition? I thought that's, you know, what the whole thing was about. You want to win a national championship? Prove it. I ain't never heard an NFL coach say, oh, well, I'm going to up and go to the Canadian Football League and win me a Grey Cup. I mean, come on. But past all that, I want to hear who you think Oklahoma should go after for a splash hire.
Well, listen, I understand where you're coming from. You're a fan. And I'll say one thing. You know, I've been to Oklahoma to games. I've been to both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And it's a serious football place. And I would never want to, nor would I even attempt to convince you that there are better programs, because Oklahoma is in that upper.
I know
it's in the upper echelon.
I know USC's a blue blood.
It is, but so is Oklahoma.
Huge college football.
And I don't know Lincoln enough to know why he did it, but sometimes you just get worn out, even though he's only been there a couple of years. That's his decision. He's already made it. The question now is.
Oh yeah, no.
The question now is what does Joe Castiglione do? You tell me, because you're out there. I know who some of the names being mentioned are, but who do you think would be the ideal Oklahoma coach?
Man, honestly, at this point, everybody wants somebody that's a defensive-minded coach. Georgia's defensive coordinator right now is a big name. Obviously, you mentioned earlier Venables. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody out of the NFL, honestly, if they could pick up, like Joe Brady. There's a couple other
coordinators. Well, by the way, Joe Brady may be available, because I think he's going to get fired where he is. He's doing such a poor job.
Yeah, I know. The Carolina Panthers are struggling tough.
Let me ask you about Brent Venables. Do you think Brent Venables would be universally accepted by the OU people?
Oh, yes. They've loved him for years. Okay. They were so sad when he left because of Mike.
Brent Venables reminds me of that coach. He reminds me there's a groundswell. I pose this question, and I don't know the answer, but I know how popular Shane Beamer was at Oklahoma. I wonder if Shane Beamer had stayed another year, would he be the heir apparent, having worked under Lincoln? Remember, Shane Beamer, I think this is correct, replaced Josh Heupel when Bob Stoops made that change to Lincoln Riley, and then Lincoln Riley. Hold on, yeah, Lincoln. I may be slightly off there. Lincoln may have moved up first and then made the change. No, Stoops made the change on Heupel. And then Lincoln brought in Shane, or Shane was already there. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but I do think I do know Shane Beamer is well liked out there. There's a lot of speculation about Stoops, Bob Stoops. He's the interim coach. I find that to be interesting. You know, maybe he's itching to get back. The Stoops to everywhere rumors have been out there for days. How smart is that to bring a 62-year-old coach back, who was burned out and didn't like to recruit, to try to salvage this year's recruiting program and lead the program? There are a lot of question marks at OU, and we will talk about them when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And I will say this about Bryce. I don't know if I've ever seen a college quarterback handle a two-minute drive more effortlessly and efficiently than what he did Saturday afternoon at Auburn. It was stunning to watch. Everything was against him. He did get a little bit of help from the other side from a coaching standpoint, but it was still brilliant. It was just absolutely masterful. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Mitch is up next in Texas. Hey, Mitch, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I don't want to take this down too emotional of a note, but I did not call in after Cecil Hurt passed away. Didn't know Cecil very well, but I grew up in the newspaper business and shared a press box with Cecil and observed him and, of course, read him from the 1980s and watched you guys and Tommy D's and, gosh, so many people, Ray Melick, all those guys from the back in the 80s and 90s in the Alabama media, and just kind of learn from you guys. And just couldn't help but wonder, not equating, not putting football game above life, but I just couldn't help but wonder what Cecil Hurt would have written Sunday, but I, you know, for the Tuscaloosa News. But I know that whatever the column was, it would have fit the moment. And I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, Mitch, thank you.
I know you were way, you were way closer to Cecil than most people let on here. And I remember those days. And just wanted to tell you that I'm sorry for your loss. And he was a every bit the member of the sports media that you would want if you were a publisher or a managing editor or whatever. If, the Tuscaloosa News was better, was always better with Cecil. And we're going to miss him greatly. And I think every Alabama fan, I honestly think I can speak for every Alabama fan on that, that we would have loved to have read what Cecil would have written Sunday morning. It was quite a game. I, like others, I'm wondering how I'll just say it. I mean, I love Coach Saban, but the Alabama coaching staff, I can not remember them questioned like they're being questioned right now. So I'm wondering how if they're going to rise to the occasion on Saturday. And I'll just hang up and listen. I will tell you this. I'm you know, a sports writer in Kilgore, Texas.
Sure.
And I actually wrote my column over the weekend on Cecil, believe it or not. So not doing
well,
myself.
Mitch, if you could, if you could do this for me, if you could find some way to get that to me, I'd love to see it. And I'll put you on hold if you want, and the guys can tell you my email.
That would probably be the best.
I would love it. Let me go ahead and put you on hold right here, and because I did the same thing that many, many people did Sunday, just instinctively went to Tide Sports to read Cecil's column. And by the way, I've been on the phone today with Cecil's family and friends, and there should be an announcement very soon, maybe by the end of the day or early tomorrow, on the services for him. I know that's something I've been asked a couple of times already this weekend in Auburn, and it's very likely going to be next week, but I'll wait until they make it official. They were very conscious of what's going on this week and how difficult it would be for people to find their way to Tuscaloosa. But it, for those who are thinking about making plans, it will probably be sometime next week when he will be remembered, and we'll have more on that later on. But what a terrible and tremendous loss every sports fan has suffered with his passing last Tuesday. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Dan is up next in Iowa. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. That's kind of a tough call to follow, but sorry for your loss. I just want to tell you, I think you have the best, the smartest, most entertaining program for true college football fans, and I appreciate even trying to get in.
Thank you.
Yeah, want to talk a little bit about the Big Ten championship game coming up. And obviously, I'm a Hawk fan. Have been all my life, but I think the Hawks are right where they should be. Their ranking is right where it should be, and they're double-digit underdogs, which I think is going to fit right into it, to everything that they do. We don't have to worry and waste all that energy about coaching changes because we're not going to have one here in the state of Iowa, and we're proud of that. But I want to get your opinion on what you think that game's going to be like. I'm really hoping that the Hawks turn them over deep in the territory, kick a field goal, and we win 3-0. But that to me would
well,
be
you know,
the
you know, Dan,
but,
what's so interesting is that, you know, Iowa got up to number 2 in the country, and they were summarily forgotten about as if they don't even exist. Yeah, I just thought they had lost a few more games than they did. And I think it's a dangerous game for Michigan because they are coming off of the biggest win in, oh, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. It's hard to get down from that. I think we've seen that a couple of times. I think Ohio State had a hard time with that. They had that epic win over Michigan State, and we're all going, man, this might be the team that wins it all. and then they simply couldn't rise up. College football is difficult. It's a very emotional game. I'm looking forward to that. I really can't wait to see it. Brent is in Indiana. Hello, Brent.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, I was just referring to your comment last week on Jim Harbaugh's incapabilities to coach at Michigan. Any change in philosophy there this week?
Well, I think he answered that criticism quite well. You know, we all make opinion. We all give opinions. And that one clearly was wrong. And you know, there's nothing else I can say about it.
Well, that's good. So I just wanted to clarify that. And I think you're absolutely right. I think the highs and lows of the Big Ten and Michigan coming off of a big win, it'll be an interesting game in Indianapolis.
Well, I still believe Michigan will win because I do think that you have to be professional about this, even though this is college football. And Jim Harbaugh understands the difference. And I guarantee you, he is not allowing any more conversation about Ohio State in that locker room. It's all about the Hawkeyes, and it should be. That's what a smart coach would do. But yeah, I think what we saw in Ann Arbor was why we all love sports, is that sometimes the narrative gets destroyed. That you can, how many times have we said, whether the Patriots, the year they had the perfect season, or Alabama, that certain things just will never happen. Well, they do. John Wilner will talk about how the resurrection of the Pac-12, which we didn't think would ever happen, may be in the process.